John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? So he's talking to these guys, and he goes through and talks to them about sheep. He says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And he goes through there, and in verse 30 he says, I and my Father are one. As soon as he said that, the Jews immediately took up stones to stone him. And Jesus said, Well, why are you going to stone me? For which work are you going to stone me? They said, No, we're not going to stone you for any works. We're going to stone you because you committed blasphemy. Because you, just being nothing more than a man, claim to be God. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 36, you're saying I'm blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? Now see, folks, you need to understand what back in John chapter 5, it explains this a little bit. In John chapter 5, in verse 17, back just a couple chapters, in John chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. When Jesus Christ said, I am the Son of God, the Jews knew exactly what he was saying. He was making himself equal with God, because he said God was his Father. Verse 18 explains that. And Jesus said, Oh, so you're going to stone me because I said I'm the Son, that I'm the Son of God? And see, they were just trying to execute judgment for Leviticus. Leviticus said if one blasphemed, that they should be stoned. So Jesus told them that he said, Well, listen, you called the judges back in the Old Testament, and I thought it was interesting here when he said, Isn't that written in your law? I said, Ye are gods. I thought that was pretty cool. Jesus said, In your own law, I said, Ye were gods. You know, because they had judicial sovereignty. They were like God's representatives on earth. He said, If you gave them godlike status on earth just because they were judges, what you're saying, I'm blaspheming because I am the one sent from God. Verse 36, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest. He says, these mere guys over here, you call them gods. And now the one that truly has come from God, you're saying I'm blaspheming because I said I am God, I am the Son of God. So Jesus told those guys straight up. They knew exactly what he was saying. They knew what he was talking about. In John chapter 4, look back in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, we have the story of the woman at the well. In John chapter 4. And I'm not going to read the whole story, but look in verse number 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to the law, come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom now whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, if you look at that word there in verse 26, he is in italics. That word's not really there. What did Jesus tell her? He said, I am. I'm the one. You're looking for the Messiah. It's me. He told her plainly, straight out, Jesus was him. I am. Remember that in John chapter 8 and verse 58? Jesus is talking to the Pharisees again. He says, Before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones and stoned him again. He told them plain, point blank and plainly that he was God. Look in John chapter 9, just over a few chapters in John chapter 9. Things that Jesus said, people say, oh, Jesus never said he was God. He never claimed to be God. Really? John chapter 9. Now this story is about the man that was born blind. He was blind from birth. And he's healed. And they find out that Jesus did a very horrible thing. He made clay on the Sabbath day. And they said, oh, he broke the Sabbath. So they just went nuts on this guy. And they went and got his parents. And they said to the blind man, Let's read starting in verse 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So there was a division. They said, well, wait a minute, how did you get your sight? He goes, well, this is how it happened. He goes, how can a guy do that? He broke the Sabbath. So they got in a big argument. And one son said, well, there's no way he could be from God. And the other said, well, how could he do such things if he wasn't? So they continue arguing. And it says, let's jump down to verse 30. Verse 30. It was funny because they asked his parents what happened. They said, well, this guy's of age. He's old enough. Ask him. And verse 25, he says, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. So then down in verse 30, he says, the man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Jesus told that man plain up. He goes, do you believe in the Son of God? Remember what I read in John chapter 5? God the Son, I'm equal with God. That's what he was saying. And the guy said, who is he that I might believe? And Jesus told him in verse 37, it's me. It's me. You've both seen him, and it is he that talked with thee. It's me. I'm the one. I am God. It's me. Back in Mark chapter 4. Look if you would in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm sorry, Mark 14. Not Mark 4. I'm sorry. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Now he's standing before the priest. This is before his crucifixion. In verse number 60. Mark 14, 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am." Folks, it doesn't get any plainer than that. It doesn't get more direct than that. Jesus looked him right in the face and said, "I am." And he goes on to say, "And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds." And the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. He stood right before all those guys, all the religious upper crust, and he goes, "Are you the Son of God? Are you the Messiah?" And he goes, "I am." Folks, it doesn't get any plainer than that. Jesus Christ specifically said, "I am God." We've looked at several passages, and there are more. I just hit the surface. Folks, Jesus Christ definitely said He was God. He didn't claim to be God. He said He was God. So Jesus said He was God by what He said. He said it very distinctly. But He also said He was God by what He did. By what He did. Look in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Jesus said plainly that He was God. He showed He was God in what He did. Chapter 9, verse number 1. "And He entered into a ship and passed over and came into His own city. And behold, they brought Him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee.' And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemeth.' And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go to thine house. And he arose and departed to his house.'" So here in this example, He heals this guy from palsy. And if you look in the other passages of the Scripture that relate this story, this is the one where they couldn't get Him in the house, so they tore the roof apart and dropped Him down in there. And Jesus saw their faith. These guys knew that if they could just get this guy to Jesus, He could heal him. And Jesus, what did He say? He said, "Your sins be forgiven." Why did He say that? You know, He just says here, you know, what... You know, I said, I could say, "I sins be forgiven," or I could say, "Take up thy bed and walk." But He said, "I said that just so you understand that I do have power to forgive sins." Because they said, "Oh, only God can forgive sins." But Jesus healed this man to show everybody that He had the power to forgive sins. He had the power to heal. Look over in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, just a couple chapters over. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 22. "Then was brought unto Him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And He healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, 'Is not this the Son of David?' But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils.' And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. He said, now I'm casting out devils. I'm performing these works. If I'm doing it in the name of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. I've come from my Father. In other words, he was saying there, my works prove where I come from. My works are proving who I am, where I'm coming from. Back in John chapter 9, when the man was born blind, he said in verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 25 through 27, or verses 24 and 25, it says, that's the story where they're in the ship. And Jesus was asleep in the boat. And the storm came, and they were about to sink. And they went and woke him up and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus stood up and said, oh, ye of little faith. And he reached out and he said, peace be still. And immediately there was a calm. And what did they have to say about that? They said, who is this that the winds and the seas obey him? He stood up and he spoke, and the forces of nature obeyed him and stood still. They said, who is this guy that the wind and the seas even obey him? Look in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus not only said he was God by what he said, but by what he did. In John chapter 10, we continue on with that story where they were going to stone him. I'm going to read verse 36 again. He said, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. He goes on to say, he says, if you don't believe what I'm saying to you, believe the works. Look at what my works prove. Look at what my works show. They show that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. My works prove who I am. Back in that same chapter in verse 25, he said, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Jesus said, my works prove where I came from. He said, if you don't believe me for what I'm saying to you, because he tried to tell them, what'd they do? They were going to stone him. And he said, well, if you're not going to believe what I say, believe the works. My works prove where I came from. My works prove who I am. Christ didn't do works on this earth when he was here to show off or try to be cool or try to impress anybody. He was doing the works to show who he was. They dovetailed with what he said. And Christ said, if you don't believe me for what I'm trying to tell you, because obviously you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, but you're blind and you can't hear. If you don't believe me for what I say, believe me for the works' sake. They show who I am. Christ specifically showed he was God by what he did. And you know what? Christ also showed who he was by what he didn't do. Very specifically, he showed he was God by what he didn't do. And before I show you that, I want to look at a couple other things, a couple other passages to set this up, to understand this better. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Get a feel for what I'm trying to relate here. And while you're going there, I need to find one more passage here. In Acts chapter 10, there we go. Acts chapter 10 and verse 24. In verse 24, we'll read verse 23 first. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." Okay, remember what Peter told him there. Look back in Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, John is talking with the angel that's been dealing with him. In verse number 9, and it says, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So in both of these cases, Peter has a guy drop at his knees to worship him, and John falls at the knees drops on his knees in front of an angel to worship him. In both cases, Peter and the angel say, Get up, don't do that. You're only supposed to worship God. And God alone. I'm just a man. And the angel says, I'm just a fellow servant. Look back in Matthew chapter 4. One other place. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is being tempted by Satan. In verse number 5. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written, Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So Jesus Christ himself said, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. You only worship one, and that's God. You don't worship Satan, you don't worship a man, you don't worship angels, you only show worship to one and one alone, and that's God, nobody else. Now look over in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Look at a few passages here. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 1, "When he has come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Look over in Matthew chapter 14, chapter 9, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 9, just over a chapter. In verse number 18. "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." Look over in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, Wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And we will, I won't have you turn there, but I'm going to go back to the story again in John chapter 9, where the man that was born blind was healed. And in verse number 38, in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talked with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. One other place. We'll look one more spot. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Jesus comes into contact with the maniac of the Gadarenes. And starting in verse number 1. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. So I've read to you five passages. Five different passages where in every single passage, whoever was dealing with Jesus worshipped him. Now, in every one of those cases, there was something decidedly missing from that story. We saw Peter say it, we saw the angel say it, and we saw Jesus say it. They said, Worship only God, and Him only shall you serve. Don't worship me. But what was decidedly missing in every instance that I read to you about where these people fell at Jesus' feet and worshipped Him? Not one time did Jesus say, Hey, get up. What are you doing? You're only supposed to worship God. Get up. You're not supposed to be worshiping me. In every single instance, Jesus Christ did nothing. It's what He didn't do that proved He was God. In every single instance, the Lord Jesus Christ stood there and accepted their worship. Why? Because He was God. And Jesus had to know what He was talking about, because He just told Satan back in Matthew chapter 4, you only worship God. And in every single case, and folks, there are others. The three wise men, when they found Jesus, the Bible says they fell at His feet and worshipped Him. In every single instance. Now folks, the last one we read was from a demon. Folks, Legion knew exactly who he was dealing with. He knew him. He says, I know who you are. And if you go through the Gospels and look at instance after instance where Jesus met up with demons, almost every time they said, We know who you are. And Jesus said, Shut up. Be quiet. I don't want people to know who I am because of what you say. I want them to understand who I am by what I say and what I do. And by the way, what I don't do. And in every single case, Jesus Christ accepted their worship. He did nothing. But He took their worship. Why? Because He was God. He did it in what He said. He claimed to be God. He proved that He was God by what He said, by what He did, and what He didn't do. And I saved one other thing that Jesus Christ did to show He was God. I saved it for last. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 1. Kind of got out of order, but I did it on purpose. One last thing that Jesus Christ did to prove that he was God. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Folks, there was one other thing that Jesus Christ did that proved beyond a shadow of doubt that he was absolute God. The resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There were thousands of people that died on a cross all through time. In the first century, they said that there were thousands of people crucified. But folks, only one rose again. And he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. If you talk to these other people, you talk to JWs, you talk to Buddhists, you talk to Hindus, I don't care who you talk to, especially the cults, their founder, they can say, oh yeah, well he may have done great miracles, he may have done great things, he may have said great words, but folks, not one of them can claim that their founder rose again from the dead. Not one. There's only one, and that's Christ. And the Bible says right here that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christ rose from the dead, proving that he was God. Folks, could you trust in a God that didn't have the power enough to raise himself from the dead? If he said, you know, one day I'll come and get you. I'll go to prepare a place for you, but I will come again. And I'll receive you to myself. How could you possibly trust in one that said, I'll give you eternal life, I'll give you everlasting life, if he couldn't give it to himself? If he didn't have the power of life and death in his hand? I wouldn't. But we can, because Christ was God, and he does have the power of life and death. He rose from the dead. In closing, 1 Peter 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Folks, the resurrection is the capstone in the arch of Christianity. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. And with the resurrection, we have everything. Christ rose, and one day he's coming back to get us. And I hope it's before noon when he comes. It's 10 till now. He's got 10 minutes. I hope he comes fast. That's where our hope is, folks. In Titus chapter 2. I'm sorry, Titus chapter 3. You see, it's 2, I think. Yes, 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Is your hope in Christ? If you know Christ is your Savior, your hope is in Him. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm looking for Him to come and get me. I can't wait for Him to come and get me. Is that your hope? Remember, hope is earnest expectation. I am fully, totally expecting Him to keep His word and come and get me. He promised me He would. And He's coming to get me. Is He coming to get you? Is that where your hope lies? Is your hope in Christ? And you know what? We can't have the hope in Christ. Because we've proven this morning that next time you hear anybody say, oh, Jesus never claimed to be God. Oh, yes, He did. Over and over and over again. By what He said, by what He did, and what He didn't do. And you know what? I thought it was real interesting. In Revelation chapter 1, you know, talking about the resurrection, Christ Himself references it when He's talking to John. Now, John was was his bosom buddy. He loved John. And John saw him transfigure himself on the Mount of Transfiguration. John was very close to Christ. But in Revelation chapter 1, when he sees Christ in his full glory, the Bible says he falls at his feet as though he was dead. Scared him to death. What did Jesus say? Ha, yeah, now you see it. No, he didn't. He said, and when I saw him, I felt his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He said, John, it's okay. Don't be afraid. Get up. It's me. I was the one who was alive, and I died, and now I'm alive forevermore. Folks, that's who my Savior is. Is he your Savior? He said, I was alive, and I'm alive forevermore. He proved exactly who John was talking with in the very first chapter of Revelation. He said, John, it's me. It's me. It's the same one. I was alive, I was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. I rose from the dead, and it's me. Is that who your faith and trust is? Is that where your hope lies? In 1 John chapter 5, I'll close with this passage. In verse number 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Folks, God wrote this record of his Son right here. And the record is that God's given us eternal life, and the eternal life that he has offered to every one of us is through his Son. If you have the Son, you got it. If you don't have the Son, you don't got it, so to speak. You don't. That's why, folks, when you talk to anybody else about their religion and they try and convert you, you talk to a JW or a Mormon or anything else, you don't talk about their doctrine. You don't talk about their Bible, whatever they use. You talk about one person and one person alone. You talk about Christ. Just what Jesus told his disciples. Who do men say that I am? Well, they say this and that. Well, who do you say I am? And folks, that's where you can start and end your conversation with these people. You go and look at them and say, who do you say Jesus Christ is? That's where it lies. Because anything other than not only the Son of God, but God the Son, and they're in error. They're wrong. And you can point to this book right here and say, yeah, he did say he was God. In multitude of places. That's the Jesus Christ I serve. He's not some medium. He's not the first created offspring of Elohim. He's God the Son and the Son of God together. He is God. Is that where your hope lies? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Father, we thank you for, as we saw in your word today, our Lord Jesus Christ did claim to be God. He proved that he was God. By what he said, by what he did, and what he didn't do. And dear Lord, we're so thankful that you had the power over life and death, and you did rise from the dead, and we celebrate that every day. And Lord, our hope lies in you, that one day you will take us home, that you offered us eternal life, and you can give it because you have the keys of life in your hand. Lord, we're so thankful for this. And help us to never be ashamed of our Savior, to never back down when someone says that Jesus never claimed to be God, because Lord, you did. And I pray that you'll help us to take a stand for Christ. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that knows not Christ as your Savior, that their hope is pinned on something else, I pray that they will be saved and their hope will lie with you, looking for that blessed hope, looking for you. Lord, we pray that you'll bless the invitation to come, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.